The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast Esoterica and so much more. If it's up to you, friend, it's on the up to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast for the month of September 2015. Ladies and gentlemen, we are only 24 days away from Atlanticon. I am doing an Atlanticon special tonight. Of course, my good friend Jeff keeping out there. Just letting you know, buddy, I'm not going to be at your event, but I sure as hell am rooting for you. Atlanticon 4, of course, will be held September 25th to the 27th. Come check them out. Now, last Atlanticon, I, of course, drove up with the Atlanta Convoy. All my friends from Sci-Fi and Rock, I wish you all the best, guys. I really do. Just a big shout-out to everybody on your way up there. Remember, it's not actually at Grenfell Campus this year. They've actually moved to the Corner Brook Civic Center Annex. So I hope everyone has a great time. I know I had a wonderful time last year. And how can you not have a great time? I mean, the guests are great. A little bit later in the show, I'm actually going to be joined by Fat Apollo. And that's going to be awesome. It was a really fun interview. Of course, he's going to be the master of ceremonies. They also have voice actor guest Aaron Fitzgerald. Now, Aaron, of course, does the voices of many, many characters on TV, including Monster High as Abby. I think there was a couple of other ones, too. And one in particular that I'm actually kind of in love with is her work on the Persona games. She worked on Persona 4 games, where she plays the popular character of Chi. Now, man, oh man, that's a great guest. She's always interesting. And, of course, she was also at Sci-Fi and Rock a while back. Mary Claude Bourbonnais is a cosplay guest. I've seen some of her stuff, and man, oh man, does she ever look wicked. Just gonna say that. We also have comic artist guest Richard Comley, Mr. Captain Canuck. This guy is an awesome artist, and of course, he really is bringing to life a true Canadian hero in Captain Canuck. And last but certainly not least, my good friend Darren Han and his crew. God, I love saying that. The Reliance mission is exploration of space beyond the Romulan Star Empire and the Breen Confederacy, but they're going to be making a brief stop once again at Atlanticon this year. Darren Han, Star Trek Reliant, best of luck to all you guys. It's going to be a great time. I can't wait to have Fat Apollo on the show just a little bit later. But first, I got some news to share with you guys, of course. And it's not going to be paranormal news. No, no, no. First and foremost, my little girl, Faith, she just turned 5 years old. Her birthday was on the 23rd, so happy birthday to you, darling. I don't know how old you are when you listen to this, but know your daddy loves you very much. Happy birthday to you. And you know, with the age of 5 and September rolling around, you can imagine I'm a mixed bag of feelings as I send my little girl off to kindergarten. But have no fear, because, you know, I just can't sit back and be all sad about it. What did I do? I did what any Newfoundlander would do. I decided to have another one. Yeah, that's right. Mrs. Duck herself, Stephanie, is pregnant. I'm going to be a dad again. I'm so excited. I can't wait. And get this, the new baby, whether it be a boy or girl, we're not going to find out, by the way. As a paranormal investigator, I like a surprise or two. But the little baby's going to be coming on February 16th, we think. So that's like 2 days before my birthday. Could it be that I might just get one of the coolest birthday presents ever? I'm really, really, really excited about that. Of course, that's enough about my stuff. That's enough about Atlanticon. We'll talk more about Atlanticon a little bit later, of course. Let's get it now into this month's paranormal news. So put a smile on your face. Or, you know, maybe like half a smile on your face. Maybe like a Mona Lisa smile. Well, I got news for you. Researchers have identified a subtle optical illusion responsible for the painting's enigmatic smile. Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa is perhaps the most famous painting of all time. Its subtle smile and captivating pose delighted generations of art lovers for the better part of 500 years. That's a long time. Now, however, researchers may have finally solved one of the painting's most enduring mysteries by examining another portrait by the Renaissance genius, that of La Bella Principessa. What they found was that Da Vinci had employed a subtle optical illusion in his paintings by blending colors to exploit the observer's peripheral vision, a technique that could give the shape of the mouth a different appearance depending on which part of the painting the observer was focusing on. In La Bella Principessa, for example, the mouth appears to slope downward when viewed directly, yet when observed indirectly, a faint smile can be perceived. Da Vinci is believed to have employed the same technique when he painted the Mona Lisa. As the smile disappears, as soon as the viewer tries to catch it, we have named this visual illusion the uncatchable smile, the researchers wrote in a paper published in the journal Vision Research. Very interesting. And you know, if you ever look at the Mona Lisa, it's hard to say what exactly you are looking at. Is it a smile? Is it a smirk? Or is she just getting really sick of people looking at her? Oh, my. Well, I know if I was Mona Lisa, I'd be telling everyone to jump on a plane to get the heck out of here. But apparently, planes are, flying over both worlds. Yeah, a mysterious ghost plane's been spotted over the UK. Several people have reported seeing an old World War II era bomber aircraft flying over the Derbyshire. The large prop-driven airplane had been spotted by multiple witnesses and was described as completely silent as it flew low over the English countryside. Richard and Helen Jepson had been driving their car in Rowsley on the afternoon of August 3rd when they saw the plane flying so near the ground that they thought it was going to crash. My car window was open and this plane was so low that you could touch it, but it was completely silent, said Richard. We sort of braced ourselves for a crash, but nothing happened. The strange aircraft was later seen again by witnesses on the A-52 from Derby. It was flying very, very low, but there were quite a lot of trees to that point, so I couldn't get a very good look at it, said Richard Burley. It was definitely not a Lancaster. It was much smaller than that, but I couldn't be sure. I couldn't believe that nobody else had seen it. Authorities have confirmed that there are no scheduled air displays or flyovers at these times. Could this be a residual haunting? I mean, it's very, very awesome to think that history repeats itself, and therefore we see the same thing happening in a room or even in an open airfield like this over and over again. But what really, really captures my eye about this story is the fact that the airplane is silent. Remember, one of the leading theories out there, which I believe may explain a lot of things that happen with the paranormal, in particular paranormal activity, as in ghost planes and whatnot, is that there's an extra dimension of space. Could it be that the sound is in one dimension and we are finally getting a glimpse of the picture? Man, all I know is if I had a ghost plane flying over my head, I'd be pretty freaked out. Not as freaked out as a guy from Australia, apparently, who hiked and snapped a picture of a ghost. And let me tell you, it is creepy. One of the creepiest pictures of a ghost I've seen in a long, long time. A hiker has captured the image of a strange figure while out walking near Toowoomba Waterhole. Brock David had been out walking in the Australian wilderness recently when he was overcome by a sudden sense of dread and an overwhelming feeling that he was being watched. When he later went through the photographs, he taken notice that what seemed to show a bearded man dressed in red peering out at him from behind a pile of roots and branches. I felt like the hairs on the back of my neck were standing up. I honestly don't believe in ghosts or anything supernatural, he said. Oddly enough, I've been experiencing a similar feeling of dread every once in a while over the last week. The eerie photograph has since proven quite popular on social media, with some internet users even claiming to have experienced a similar sense of unease just from looking at it. Whether the picture shows anything genuinely paranormal, however, remains a matter of debate. And I'll be honest, I look at this picture and it looks pretty creepy. So either there's actually a ghost, okay, standing behind these bushes looking right at this guy, or there's a creepy stalker standing behind these bushes looking at this guy. Either way, stay the hell out of Australia. Nah, I'm just kidding. In fact, I got a lot of listeners over there. I did a quick count on you guys there last month, and man, oh man, the Australians love the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. What can I say? You know, I hear a lot of people say, I don't believe in God. God's silly. I might as well just believe in a flying spaghetti monster. Well, guess what? Apparently, there really is a spaghetti monster. Spaghetti monster has been filmed off the Angolan coast. An extremely unusual-looking creature has been picked up on a video more than 4,000 feet under the sea. The bizarre organism, which looks like it's made out of pasta, was originally filmed by a team from energy giant BP before sent to a deep-sea ecology experts for further analysis. Daniel Jones at the UK's National Oceanography Centre and his colleague Phil Pugh eventually identified the creature as a species of Bathyscus conifera, a subfaunophore which, rather than being a single organism, is actually made up of a large colony of individual zooids and creatures. To my knowledge, this creature has only been observed a handful of times, said Jones. The creature appears spaghetti-like before the stem is contracted up so that all the feeding zooids are jam-packed together. In a way, these specialized bodies function as organs. Despite being very fragile, siphonophores can grow in length up to a staggering 160 feet. On top of spaghetti, all covered with water. Yeah, I tried. I'm not the best singer in the world. I'll be the first to admit that. I'm sure you guys have probably heard about some of these asteroid predictions that are being thrown around the web lately. Man, oh man, everyone just wants the world to end, it seems like. Well, good old NASA, guess what? They're not completely useless. Yeah, that's right. They decided to bust out the old skeptic hats and completely debunk September asteroid predictions, which, you know, is a good thing. I mean, you have more to look forward to this month now. The space agency remains adamant that there are no apocalyptic asteroids due to hit us next month. The internet has been awash over the last week or so with claims that a large asteroid is heading towards us and that it will strike Puerto Rico sometime between September 15th and 28th. You hear that? This is apparently supposed to strike during Atlanticon. Jeff, for the love of God, we're your clam diggers. Chief among those responsible for this rumor is self-proclaimed prophet Efrain Rodriguez, whose predictions are based on the so-called Blood Moon Prophecy, a series of four blood moons that have been occurring over the last 18 months, with the last one due on September 28th. NASA's Near-Earth Object Office, however, has emphatically denied that anything is going to happen. If there were any large objects large enough to do that type of destruction of September, we would have seen something of it by now, said manager Paul Chodas. In fact, not a single one of the known objects has any credible chance of hitting our planet over the next century. The September doomsday claim is just the latest in a long line of end-of-the-world predictions that have arisen over the last few years, with the December 21st, 2012 being the most infamous. As it stands, there is practically no chance that next month's event will be any different. You know, I always wonder why people get so bought up over this stuff. I mean, it's been around even while I've been around. I'm only 31. Let me tell you. I mean, back in 2000, we thought the world was going to end. You know, the Y2K problem. Then we had the December 21st thing, 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar, all this stuff. But you know what? The world keeps on spinning. It still goes on. What can I say? I think the only way off this rock is when you die. Or a spaceship. That'd be interesting. Speaking of spaceships, we're going to pick up an alien now in a little while and have Fat Apollo on the podcast. I can't wait. He was so much fun to interview, guys. But remember, the mystery of the Mona Lisa smile, mysterious ghost planes flying over the UK, hiker who snaps a creepy stalker slash ghost, a flying spaghetti monster, and asteroids that just aren't going to hit. All these stories, my friends, have been odd to Newfoundland.
The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal podcast does not accept donations. In lieu of this, the Stella Burry Foundation is a registered charity established in 2005 to secure financial support for the work of Stella's Circle. Learn more and please give generously at stellaburry.ca. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal podcast. I am joined tonight by somebody who is hella famous. I am joined tonight by somebody who is pretty much the embodiment of all things geeky. I met him first at Atlanticon last year. He will be back again, of course, this year, here to promote Atlanticon. Ladies and gentlemen, the Sheik of Geek, Michael McCoskey, a.k.a. Fat Apollo, sir. How are you tonight?
Very good. Never been called a Sheik before, so, I mean, that's quite impressive.
Let's just throw that Battlestar Galactica blanket over your head and...
It'll be like a hockey fight. It'll be over my head. As long as you're not throwing big haymakers, I'm okay.
We all got to beat punch out somehow, right? And, of course, Mr. Apollo here will be joining the likes of Aaron Fitzgerald, who's a voice actor. You got a cosplay guest this year, too, Marie-Claude Bourbonnais.
Oh, she's great.
Oh, I've seen some of her stuff, man. I'm really, really excited.
Yeah, she's got the stuff she picks is awesome. She looks fantastic.
Awesome. Also, Richard Comley, a.k.a. Mr. Captain, oh man, Mr. Captain Canuck. I mean, that's an awesome guest this year as well. And, of course, we can't forget our dear friend Darren Han and his crew. I love calling them a crew. It's so funny. Of Star Trek Reliant will be also in attendance for Atlanticon. So, yeah, tell us all about how things have been going, Michael. You know, I haven't seen you actually since Sci-Fi and the Rock, number 9. Yeah. And how have things been then since then?
Pretty good, pretty good. I'm just really pumped for AtlanticCon. I mean, I'm always honored when I get asked back. You know, HalCon's where I live, but I really kind of consider AtlanticCon my home con. Because that's, you know, I've been involved with it for so many years now. And, you know, Jeff and the guys and girls do such a fantastic job. And, you know, it's a great con. It's, you know, I don't want to use the term people go, oh, you know, it's a great con for its size. No, I don't use that term. Because it's a great con, just period. It's going to be a lot of fun. If your listeners haven't been to it yet, I can't say enough about it.
I'll tell you right now. We drove last year for 8 hours across the island. We never had the luxury of a go plane. We drove out in the Atlanta convoy, we called it. My good friend Steve Lake, of course, and all the rest. We drove all the way out there, and I'm telling you, it's well worth the drive. Just such a welcoming atmosphere. And to me, it's like Sci-Fi and the Rock number 2. It's the same thing. It's the same feel, same atmosphere. And, you know, we talk about size and stuff like that, like, you know, you just mentioned there, but man, I'm telling you, I got memories from the last AtlanticCon when you were giving away the prizes and we had, what's his face? Oh my god, the Transformer guy? Soundwave, remember that? Yeah, it was epic.
Yeah, he had the music playing. It was really funny.
Yeah, and I think that was the moment where I was kind of like, yeah, I gotta get this guy on my show because it is a paranormal podcast, but I also, actually in my little hand when I actually bring in the show, I tell people it's the best in East Coast esoterica. And believe it or not, there's an entire just religion, we'll say, behind cons. How they go off and how people work behind the scenes. And it really is well a fringe way of living. Michael, how did you come up with the Apollo, this fat Apollo character? You know, I know you probably get that question a lot, but for the life of me, I've never had a chance to attend one of your speaking engagements, we'll say, like the story time of Fat Apollo.
Yeah.
How the heck did you come up with this idea, and where did this spawn from?
Well, you know, it was twofold. What it is I'm a huge fan. I was a fan of the original Battlestar Galactica, but I was a huge fan of the new Galactica. I mean, it really spoke to me. I thought it was fantastic. And there's a part in it, Apollo is sort of the young, not that young, but he's played by Jamie Bamber. And in it, I won't spoil it for anyone, but there's a point in the show where they're not fighting the Cylons anymore. So Jamie Bamber turns from being this incredibly in shape, good-looking guy to being fat. Like being, they got a fat suit on him, right? And he's sitting there just shoveling the noodles into his mouth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his dad, who's the admiral, says, "Get your fat off my ship." Like that, eh? And I'm like, oh, that's hilarious. So I had this shirt made from the classic Battlestar Galactica and a matching cape. And so I called myself Fat Apollo because what happens is an episode later, they show him walking out of the ship's gym and he's completely cut. Like, you know, six-pack ab and everything. And he's saying to his buddy Hilo, he's like, "Don't let me get that fat again." Like, it was like, what are you talking about? And so I use that. And I also use it because, you know, it's funny because I was always a little heavy growing up and stuff like that. Never really teased, but I was heavy. And I take away the word fat because it takes away the power of being offended by it, or you can still be offended by it, but you're taking away the power of people to use that against you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny because people, you know, you're online, so of course you're going to get haters. And I've had people like insult me for being heavy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's in my name. You know, do you think this is some sort of insult to me? And it's really funny because it diffuses them and they don't know what to do next.
Oh, okay. So this is really a complete mind bender.
Yeah. Like they're like, yeah, well, you're really fat. And I'm like, yeah, hence the name. And they're like, oh, yeah. And they don't know what to say after that. So it's really funny. But, you know, it's a goof. You know, Fat Apollo. You know, I started it like 6 years ago, and it was part of, also we do a show here in Halifax called Geeks versus Nerds, which if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, it's a podcast, but it's done live, and we put the show out on podcast. It's really fun. It's a debate show. If your space has a show called Geeks That Drink that just started this year, totally stole our concept, 100% took what we do. And the host is nowhere as good as the host of our show is Lord High Pig Monkey, who's an awesomely funny guy. And
wait a second. Wait. Lord High Pig Monkey?
Oh, don't leave any of those words out. He's very good. And he's got I take with his permission when I do my show, I sing his, he came up with what's called the content warning song, and there's no way I can sing it on your podcast in any way, shape, or form and stay anywhere near a GPG rating. So I'm not even going to attempt it. But yeah, that's pretty much where it came about. You know, and I do it just as sort of a, you know, I'm an older guy, so it's also kind of as a bit of an extension to younger people.
Yeah. One thing I will say is this, you know, it always seems like you wind up the master of ceremonies, and it doesn't surprise you one bit. It's almost
just say, hey, you know what, we're all involved with this, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's pretty cool when you have someone who's welcoming, you're comfortable around, you know what I mean? You're very approachable, Michael. I'm telling you, there's a lot of stars and stuff at cons, and some of them you're kind of like, how do I approach this person? But, you know, Michael McCloskey, hi, I'm fat, and, But here's my question. Why the boxing gloves? Is it just a thing on Apollo Creed, or?
Oh, it was actually, it's sort of fallen by the wayside. I don't wear them like I used to, because it was part of the geeks versus nerds, sort of the fight aspect of it, the debate. And what I used to do was I actually used to have, what do you call it? I used to have, I would dress in my fat Apollo gear and actually walk through the city the day of a show. And so people would see me in the Fat Apollo outfit wearing boxing gloves, and people would know that there was a Geeks versus Nerd show. And one thing I'll tell you is that when you're wearing boxing gloves, nobody asks you for change. No one asks you for change.
Oh, man. There's one punchline. Yeah. There's one punchline you just had to get in there, right?
Yeah, punchline. Very funny.
Yeah, see, I can sneak one in, too.
Yeah, you're pretty good, man. I'll give you that.
Oh, man. So, yeah. Atlanticon is upon us. The return and inning.
Yeah, the return and inning.
The return and inning.
Yeah.
Of course, you are a master of ceremonies again.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
Very happy. Very, you know, I'm always really honored when Jeff asks me to do it, because, I mean, Jeff's a great guy.
Absolutely.
And he could get anyone. I mean, so I really appreciate the fact. You know, sometimes it's nice. You know, I did Sci-Fi on the Rock this year, where I kind of hosted it. And it's nice. Like, I don't do any of that at HowlCon, which is where I live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's done by somebody else, because it's good, I find, sometimes with the cons to have someone who's from away.
Yes.
To do it, it adds kind of a different vibe to it.
Yeah.
So, like, here at HowlCon, I don't host anything except my own show. And the pub. The HowlCon Tina is our pub.
Hmm. You have your own pub at your con?
Yeah. Boston Pizza's at Grandpa Market's nice enough to give us control of the restaurant for 3 days.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, so we have, the bar is called the HowlCon Tina.
As in, like, after the con, you'll be even fatter Apollo.
Yeah, exactly. Trust me. It's all those breaded chicken wings.
Oh, man. Now I'm getting hungry. But I'm also getting hungry for a ghost story. You know, you are on a paranormal podcast, Mr. Apollo. We do have to share with each other at least some kind of scary weirdness that may have happened in your life. And I know for a fact, the one thing I love about being at the cons, you know, I keep to myself. I'm a researcher. I don't. Mm-hmm. I put myself out there a little bit, but, you know, I don't do a whole lot of social stuff. So when I get a chance to do the cons, people come up to me all the time. And, you know, one person out of 10 will be like, man, there's nothing. Paranormal's fake. And, but you know what? The other 9 people out of 10 all have a story.
Yeah.
So for once, I'd like to have a ghost story time with Fat Apollo right here on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Tell me something maybe a little strange that's happened to you in the past, Michael.
Okay. Yeah, well, mine's not so much. Mine's going to fall out of the ghosty story into the sort of xenocryptic. Into the weird animals story.
Cryptids.
So, yeah, that's it. I said it wrong. So what happened was, I was in the Navy for a long time, and we were steaming in a ship outside New York, and it was pitch dark, perfectly flat sea. Like, I've never seen a sea as flat as this. It was literally like glass. It was incredible, because when you're in the ocean like that, you never get a completely flat sea. There's always a little bit of a roll. And so we're steaming along, and it's pitch dark. Not a star in the sky, not a moon in the sky. It's a light overcast, so there's nothing. You can't see anything. So what we're looking for is, just as a navigation exercise, there's these deep buoys, that are quite far out from land,
mm-hmm.
and they're used for weather, and they're used for other things. And so it's really far out from New York. So what we're doing is we're just looking for it to practice navigating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the boys have got the big 10-inch spotlights, and they're like sort of scanning the water, looking for the boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can hear a bell. We can hear the bell. You know, they have the bing, 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 like yep. that, right? So we're getting closer to it. We're getting closer to it. And I was the navigating officer at the time of the ship. And I remember we were getting closer, and I turned to the captain, and I said, "Hey, sir, why is the bell ringing?" Because the bell rings by the motion of the ocean. That's what makes a bell ring on a buoy, mm-hmm. is that as it rocks, the clangor hits the bell.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why is the bell ringing? Mm-hmm. Like, that makes no sense. The ocean is completely flat. Mm-hmm. Like, why is this happening? So anyway, so the guys in the spotlight, the light goes over the buoy, and there's this big shape laying on top of the buoy. Like, this big thing is there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's not like, seals don't go out that far. Like, dolphins don't get out of the water. So what the hell is this thing that's laying on top of the buoy? And, like, the light goes across it, and the, like it catches this, like, I don't know what it was. It was very, you know, weird. It was very fast. It was, like, seconds. And the eyes were, like, just so wild.
Mm.
Like, the light was reflecting from the eyes, and it was just crazy, because fish eyes, light doesn't reflect from fish eyes.
Mm.
They're not made that way.
That's right.
And then we come back, and it's gone.
Huh.
And I'm like, what the hell was that?
Wow, right?
And I'm like, and it's funny because subconsciously I actually back away from the side of the ship. Like, I back a couple feet away. I'm like, I'm not going to be standing by the side of the ship anymore. But yeah, that was the weird occurrence, because I'm like, why is the bell ringing? This makes no sense.
What?
So yeah, that's my strange at sea animal story.
You got to wonder what exactly did poor Michael do to have the Kraken released on him that night? We don't know.
I wasn't drinking enough of the rum.
Yeah.
It was maybe I was drinking too much of the rum. But yeah, it was really weird. Like, it was a very strange experience.
It's pretty interesting, actually. You mentioned the ocean. You know, me, as much as I love the idea of a Bigfoot being real,
yeah,
we got to be honest with ourselves. We pretty much explored just about everything on land.
Yeah,
we pretty much got it covered. Even inside now at this point, but the ocean is still vastly unexplored, and we have come across many cryptids in our oceans that we've discovered to be real. For instance, the giant squid, in fact, first carcass ever washed up here in Newfoundland.
Yep.
But it was only within the last couple of years that they finally got a giant squid in the wild on a video.
Yeah.
Something we've known has existed for well over a decade. So there you have it. The Kraken is real, Michael.
I believe it.
It does exist.
Listen, I've been at sea long enough. It's like, well, it was like, what was that other thing? Oh, remember the cephalopod? That fish that was extinct forever?
Yeah.
And then they found out that they were fishing for them in Africa. And they're like, what the? Those things are extinct. And they're like, no, they're good eating.
Yep. That's the thing. If we ever do find, like, you know, Mokulimimbi, you know, a brontosaurus that runs around, you know, we're going to find him. We're totally going to barbecue him.
It's yeah, that's happen. Right. Yeah.
How long is it before we have, like, Bigfoot burgers at McDonald's, I wonder?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man.
It'd probably be a foot long. I don't know.
Foot long.
This is getting horrible.
Yeah.
Michael, tell me a little tiny bit about maybe a story you may have had with some of the, we'll say, semi or more famous people that you've run into. You know, I could imagine at this stage of the game, how many cons have you done over the last 7 years?
Oh, geez. It's like in the 20s. I can't think.
And that's a lot of people. It really is. A lot of
people
come across.
Too.
Have you got any funny stories, we'll say, about some of these people? Maybe something that was just a little strange that happened?
I'll tell you one from a couple LanaCons ago.
Okay.
Was Gary Jones from Stargate was there.
Okay.
And Gary, if you don't watch Stargate, Gary's the guy that runs the Stargate. He wears the glasses, and he sits there, and he's like, Chevron 1 encoded,
mm-hmm.
Chevron 2 encoded. His name is Walter. Anyway, so he's a great guy. He's very recognizable. So we were at LanaCon, and we, you know, at night, you know, there's nothing going on, so we just go and have a beer and, you know, just talk. So we're standing at the bar, and we're having a beer, and people are walking by, and they're recognizing them, eh? But they don't want to say anything. So finally, someone comes up and says, hey, excuse me, you know, were you on TV? And he's like, yes, I am. So that opens the floodgates. Everybody comes over and starts taking pictures, and they're being really nice, eh? So there were these two young girls there that were working the door. And they come over and they said, what's going on to me? Because nobody recognizes me, of course. And they're like, what's going on? And I said, oh, he's from TV. And they're like, oh, we should get our picture taken with him. And I'm like, sure, why not? You know, hey, good reason as any. So the first girl goes up, gets her picture taken. Second girl goes up, she stands beside Gary. And so the first girl's fiddling with her phone, and the girl who's with Gary says, so, you were on Star Wars, were you? And Gary goes, no, I wasn't on Star Wars. And she goes, oh, what were you on? He goes, well, I was on Stargate. She goes, oh, what channel is that on? And he goes, well, it's not on anymore. It's in syndication. You know, it's in like 10 countries, 7 languages, you know, kind of a big thing. And she goes, oh, and she kind of screws her face up, and she stands there, and then she turns to him and goes, so, you weren't even in Star Trek? She goes, no, I was in Stargate. And she says, oh, I don't need my picture taken with you, and walks away. So Gary says, what just happened? And I said, she blew you off, Gary. She totally blew you off. And he goes, I can't believe this. I said, no, Gary, you have to understand something. She didn't want your picture. And he goes, I know, Mike. I said, no. She said that her life would be better with the absence of your photo than the presence of your photo. I said, you're not even worth the stray electrons that would bounce off your body and enter the camera. I said, seriously, a saved game of Candy Crush is worth more to her than your picture. And he's like, I totally get it, Mike. Stop talking. So then the night goes on, and we have a few more beers. And then the girls go to leave. And as they walk by Gary, the girl who didn't want her picture taken turns to him and does the Spock salute, right? But she does it where she's splitting her first and second finger.
Oh, no.
Instead of her second and third.
Give him the finger.
Yeah, like she's giving him the wrong Spock thing. And she goes, live long and prosper. And Gary looks at her, and it was like he sighed, and his shoulders shrugged. And it was like Atlas having the Earth placed on his shoulders for the very first time. The weight on this man's shoulders was incredible. And he goes, ah, like that. And he goes, and he lifts his hand and does the right salute. And he goes, it's live long and prosper. And he goes, and it's Stargate, not Star Trek.
Very humbling experience, eh?
Oh, it was a hoot. It was a hoot.
You know, we often get a chance from time to time to run into people at these cons who are just making a difference. And
yeah.
You realize, too, that everyone is somewhat famous in their own world.
Yeah, exactly.
How famous is Michael Mikowski at this point?
Oh, jeez. Not very. I mean, I do get recognized on the street once in a while because I do some other, you know, I won some awards here in town through the local newspaper and stuff for like, for being famous. I've won awards for being famous, which is kind of funny. We have an award with the local newspaper. It's like the best of Halifax awards. Mm-hmm. So it's things like best Chinese restaurant, it's big, huge, like everything you can think of gets an award, like best member of parliament, best newspaper columnist, and everybody in the city votes on who gets what. And I've won best local character 2 years in a row.
There you go.
And I won most Halifamous. No, I didn't win. No, I've come second 5 years in a row to Ellen Page. So I hate Ellen Page because I've come second to her 5 years in a row. And I was voted sexiest person in Halifax.
And I'm starting to think this contest is rigged now.
No, it's not. It's not. It's local people vote. And the funny part is they haven't awarded it since I got it. So I just consider, and I said to the newspaper editor, I said,
there's no competition.
I said, until you give it to someone else, I'm keeping the title. So I get it every year until you give it to somebody else. So I'm like, I'm now 3 years running. But no, it's, you know, I get recognized at conventions and stuff like that. But, you know, around the city, what's weird is I'll see somebody with, like, my button, like, with my picture on it. Mm-hmm. And it's weird when you see somebody wearing your face on their jacket. And I'll see them on the bus and I'll say, hey, nice button. And they'll go, yeah, thanks. And then they'll look at me and go, you know, because they suddenly realize it's me on their button. So, yeah. And there's a chocolate bar in the city named after me. So
I can't wait to have my own chocolate bar. That's going to be a big moment. It's going to be like creepy chocolate bar.
Creepy. Well, mine is it's potato chip and milk chocolate is mine.
Good lord.
Yeah, it's really good. It's from a place called Suga, which is a gourmet chocolate bar company here in town. And they've been making them for about 3 years, and they're really popular.
Man, Halifax looks after their nerds.
Yeah, they love. You know what? I gotta tell you, Halifax is a really good geek city. It really, truly is.
Hmm.
It really is.
Michael, we have run out of time, unfortunately.
Oh, that's okay.
But you know what? That does not surprise me one bit. I know I could talk to you all night long, but you know what? I try to keep interviews short. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure you got episodes of Grey's Anatomy you want to catch up on. I'm going to say this one more time before we go. Thank you so much for taking the time tonight, man. Means the world to me and to all the fans out there.
Yeah.
We're going to once again, of course, promote our good friend Jeff's
Con.
Atlantic Con 4 is going to be on September 25th. In beautiful Corner Brook.
Yeah, be there or be square.
Be there or be squared. I, unfortunately, am not able to attend this year, but it was my duty to at least help him promote a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be something paranormal in those walls. I'm sure of it.
You're a good man. You're a good man.
Michael, thank you so much for being on the podcast, sir.
Thank you very much, and you have a great night.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner. Of course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at O-D-D-T-O-N-F-L-D. That's Odd to Newfoundland. Get your latest news on the podcast as well as the ever-popular para-joke of the day. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu from the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.